The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Thanks to Sam Livingston for filling in on today's program. Just heard the first few minutes of the show yesterday. I joked with him that he was trashing the EU regulations within the first 60 seconds of the program. So it didn't take him long to begin a bit of a rant. In any event, if you'd like to listen to that program, you can get the podcast at the trumpet.com website and also at the kpcg.fm website as well. Last night, we had a couple of marquee matchups. That's sort of replaced the all-star offerings that we have had at camps in the past. The gals were out playing rugby, and the gentlemen were playing flag football. So two spirited matches right next to each other on the fields. And speaking of the fields in the evening, just a beautiful, beautiful day all the way through. I got up early yesterday morning, heard the cicadas going strong, and thought they really kick it into high gear when it's hot. So I thought, boy, this is going to be a super hot day. As it was in the late 70s, early 80s through most of the day. And then finally, I think 3, 4 p.m. in the afternoon, it started inching its way up to 88, 89 degrees. But then by last night, as the sun was setting, just a gorgeous evening. Very, very, very mild compared to what we're typically used to in the middle of July here in central Oklahoma. A few responses from listeners. It says, thank you for this wonderful story of David. I guess I really only knew the story of him slaying Goliath. This lovely young man had a heart like God's, it says. And another one writes in, what's going on in the United States reminds me of ISIS tearing down statues, painting their graffiti, and bullying territory, burning down properties, and so on. He says here, I do see a civil war on the horizon. May God be with us. Another one's writing in for the Celtic Throne DVD. My son's been putting that together, so we're making good progress on it. Probably be a few more weeks, but hopefully we can get that done and then sent off to those who want a copy as soon as possible. This one here says, just wanted to let you know that I'm thankful that you are continuing to do the Trumpet Daily with your busy schedule there at camp. I look forward to hearing from you every day. Well, I have had a few more subs subbing in, and I will again next week, but hopefully I can at least keep pace with every other day. We'll see how that goes. This one here, an interesting response. It says, I was a staff writer for the World Tomorrow television program along with Keith Stump until the telecast was finally shelved in 1996. It says, one day, close to the very end of the day, I noticed a young man headed for the dumpster with a couple of large black binders loaded onto a dolly. So I asked him what was in the binders. Mr. Armstrong's correspondence courses that he used when he discussed them on the program, the ones he would hold up and talk about. I asked the young man to put the binders in the trunk of my car instead, and I have had them ever since, all 57 volumes of them, with a label on the inside cover that says, for Mr. Armstrong's use on the telecast, please do not remove from the library. That's what was pasted on. It says, I also have Mr. Armstrong's magnifying glass, which was also being discarded, and three books in blue and white leather binding, Mystery of the Ages and Mr. Armstrong's Autobiography, Volumes 1 and 2. It says here, I want someone to have them who will appreciate them. If you're interested in them, let me know. Well, we've contacted that individual, and hopefully we'll, I think the magnifying glass would probably be the coolest thing to have. In any event, to get some hardcover leather-bound copies of those books, that would also be special as well. This one here, in response to the article we posted just the other day, President Trump, the lone man defending America. It says, I don't know what to say other than what a great article. If we could only make a mandate for every American to read and study it, I believe there would be quite an impact on the end result of what we're experiencing as a nation. So that's in response to President Trump, the lone man defending America. More and more, each day when I get up and I sift through the news stack, it's almost as if you could have the same theme every single day. Satan's goal to blot out the United States and Britain. God saw the affliction. God saw the sickness. And he sent Jeroboam to temporarily save our nations. Yesterday, President Trump's attorney general, Bill Barr, just gave a blistering speech aimed at China. China's audacious attack against the United States and all of its institutions. And I thought as I was going through the transcript of this speech, what would this speech have been like if it was Hillary Clinton's attorney general? You never would have heard a speech such as this. Here is President Trump, the lone man, as we had in that article, the lone man standing against these enemies of the United States. And here's his attorney general yesterday pointing out the evil of this communist regime and all that it's done in Hong Kong and the way that it's treated the Muslims in the Uyghur province. All of these abuses, these human rights abuses. And they're there. They're online. You can see it. You can see it. If you do a quick search on Google, it'll take you right to it. And yet you don't hear about it. The celebrities aren't going to talk about it. Hollywood, the sports stars, they're not going to talk about abuses in Hong Kong. Corporate America, they're not going to talk about it. Why, that's a big market. We can't offend China. But they can certainly have a go at the United States. Law enforcement, the Trump administration, anything that has to do with America. That's a massive target in the eyes of Hollywood, even corporate America. So here comes the attorney general yesterday, and he's calling out not just China. He's calling out corporate America. He's calling out the American companies that bow before the communist regime in China. The lone man standing. That's what we had at the trumpet. Mr. Barr said American companies such as Cisco, he's calling them out by name. American companies such as Cisco helped the Communist Party build the Great Firewall of China, the world's most sophisticated system for internet surveillance and censorship. He says corporations such as Google, Microsoft, Yahoo, and Apple have shown themselves all too willing to collaborate with the CCP. They're in bed with the communist regime. You can see the latest article in the Trumpet magazine. There's this one here, the month before, how that the world's targeting America. And then the latest, I think the cover is Lawless America. And within that one, my father wrote an article, where is the China-America clash leading? And as we've been pointing out all through this calendar year, the trumpet, as usual, it's right out in front of the pack. It's leading the way. The article in that latest trumpet, by the way, the one by my father, where is the China-America clash leading? It's based on a program that he did back in May. A Key of David program. We'll play some clips here in just a second. But first, let me take you to what the attorney general had to say just yesterday. This is a speech he gave, I forget where it was. I believe it was in the state of Michigan. But this is clip one.
The People's Republic of China is now engaged in an economic blitzkrieg, an aggressive, orchestrated, whole of government, indeed whole of society campaign to seize the commanding heights of the global economy and to surpass the United States as the world's preeminent technological superpower.
That's President Trump's attorney general yesterday. Speaking of the economic blitzkrieg and the goal, the aim here for the Chinese government, for the communist regime, to take over the global economy, to surpass the United States. Now let me take you to what my father said back in May. This is the middle of May, so just 2 months ago, May 15th. This is on the Key of David, clip 11.
China has tried ferociously to overtake the U.S. economy for years, and they've probably done so now. And also, they have driven to overtake our modern science, and they've tried very hard to surpass us in that area as well, because science has a lot to do with the quality of your economy and how strong it is.
So the economy, science, as we point out in the Trumpet magazine, you see they're amassing staggering levels of military power, their advances on the South China Sea, stealing technology. In the Trumpet, it says it is bent on asserting more and more control, not just over the people of China, but over the territory and people in the nation's periphery. See, just like Hong Kong, all these abuses. And one voice, maybe two, will speak up regarding Hong Kong, and what happens? Immediately, it's silenced. We saw that recently with the NBA. There was one NBA owner or official, I forget who he was, I think he was with the Houston Rockets. But he just said something, really, not anything at all that strong. But he just criticized the heavy-handedness of the Chinese communist regime in Hong Kong. And let me tell you, he was silenced. The NBA is not going to speak out about that. The NBA is going to speak out about the police in the United States. They've resumed their season, I guess, in Orlando, the National Basketball Association. And the NBA is giving their players a list of all these social justice phrases that they can put on their jerseys. Phrases like Black Lives Matter, I can't breathe, justice, freedom. The NBA, I'm just looking at one of Sam's emails. They produced this 1 minute commercial. And the script, it has this. The truth is, racism is everywhere. The truth is, silence is not an option. The truth is, we need to do better and be better. We will push for change. Because the truth is, Black Lives Matter. And so here's the NBA. It's like a walking infomercial for Black Lives Matter. But they won't dare say anything about these abuses on that Muslim province in China, on Hong Kong, or even the attacks, the audacious attacks aimed at American institutions. Sam, on his program yesterday, I forget the clip, the Victor Davis Hanson clip, you can cue that up, I think it's number 14, but he was on the program yesterday, or Victor Davis Hanson was, talking about the NBA and why. Why, when it comes to abuses in China, the NBA has gone silent? Here's Victor Davis Hanson.
Yeah, well, the NBA is like the university. It's an institution that's gone too far and too long without scrutiny. And we either, when people watch it, they either say they're either professional athletes and they're apolitical, or they're political. But they can't be hypocritical in both. And what they want us to do is to think that they're edgy, they're woke, they're concerned about social justice. They're going to put these insignia or messaging on their jerseys, maybe kneel for the national anthem. And yet, the whole system is predicated on a $4 to $6 billion lucrative enterprise in China with a government that has destroyed democracy in Hong Kong, destroyed the indigenous culture of Tibet, destroyed basically Uyghur culture and 1 million people in re-education camps, culpable for 140,000 American deaths from COVID because of their laxity, and an international mercantile outlaw, and yet they're getting billions of dollars there. And the reason is, it gets even deeper, Laura. The reason they're going to China is they're losing market share here in the United States.
They're losing fans here in the U.S. So it's fine to trash the U.S. And they're reaching out to the $4 to $6 billion. That's the market in China. The $4 to $6 billion market in China. Total silence. Bill Barr, in this speech in Michigan yesterday, he went on to say, clip two.
For example, the PRC has been criticized for loading poor countries up with debt, refusing to renegotiate terms, and then taking control of the infrastructure itself, as it did with the Sri Lankan port of Hambantota in 2017. This is little more than a form of modern-day colonialism.
A colonialism. They load up these poor countries with debt, and then they just come in and take over. They use it against them. They hold it over the head. Modern-day colonialism. And yet you hear nothing about it except for coming from the Lone Man Administration. Prince Harry, I believe I mentioned last week, he's out there saying that the Commonwealth is racist. He's out there denouncing the empire, all the colonialism of the British Empire. And yet he'll say nothing, absolutely nothing about this. You had the, that's one reason they hate President Trump so much, the Biden, Hillary Clinton, Obama team, because he exposed all the connections, the Biden family. The Biden family being paid off by the communist Chinese. Hunter Biden. This is something, again, only one voice speaks out against it. CNN doesn't care. MSNBC, they don't care. The New York Times, the Washington Post, they turn a blind eye to it. All of this corruption. Hollywood's in on it. Big corporations. The NBA. All of these sports organizations. They have the BLM patch on their jerseys, but they're certainly not going to say free Hong Kong. Here's William Barr again, yesterday, clip three.
Yet few companies, even Fortune 500 giants, have been willing to bring formal trade complaints for fear of angering Beijing.
They're just afraid. They're cowards. There's so much cowardice. They do not want to anger Beijing. They'll tell you that President Trump is Adolf Hitler. But they will not say anything that would upset China. Here's clip four.
As all of these examples should make clear, the ultimate ambition of China's rulers isn't to trade with the United States. It is to raid the United States. If you are an American business leader, appeasing the PRC may bring short-term rewards. But in the end, the PRC's goal is to replace you.
Goal is to replace you. The goal is to blot you out. It's not about trade. It's raiding the United States. You see, Sam got into this some yesterday, I understand. All these corporations, they're all woke about slavery and police brutality. But when it comes to Chinese slave labor camps, supporting a regime that locks millions into concentration camps, nothing to say about that. Again, you see the same commentary regarding Europe. Again, Donald Trump's seen as the evil Hitler. Germany, Angela Merkel, well, they're the great moral authority. That's what we're supposed to believe. Does Germany stand up to China? Does Germany stand up to Russia? Does Germany call them out? Far from it. It's not happening. Here, Miss Merkel, she's supposed to be the moral authority. She doesn't want to annoy China either. She doesn't want to offend China. She doesn't want to anger China. No one does. China gets away with murder. China's at war with the United States. That's what the Attorney General was saying there yesterday. Here's what my father said back on his program, May 15th, clip 12.
About 4 years ago, I wrote an article in the Trumpet magazine about China, and the title of it was, China is Steering the World Toward War. I wrote that 4 years ago, and I explained in that article, for seven decades, the United States has had naval dominance in East Asia and the China, South China Sea. And there's a total change. China is domineering and bullying East Asia and bullying them into submission and causing some serious problems. Now, that is really, really critical to the United States because through that South China Sea, just about one-third of the maritime commerce travels through there annually, one-third of it. And that's about $5.3 trillion annually. So you can see what a colossal danger this could be for the U.S. because China could literally stop all of that flow of commerce or eliminate anybody that they didn't want to go through there if they became aggressive militarily, which they are doing more and more all the time. So we need to be aware of what's going on there. This is really critical.
Program a couple months ago, he's referring back to this article in 2015, I think it was, 2016, how that China is steering the world toward war. And then more recently, as I say, in the latest Trumpet, he writes, as China does all it can to hasten America's decline, the China-U.S. relationship is becoming a tense clash of economic giants. This clash, it says, was prophesied in your Bible. There's a trade war. It's prophesied. Trade wars lead to hot wars, to military wars. Switching back to Bill Barr's speech yesterday, here he is calling out Hollywood, clip 5.
And every year at the Academy Awards, Americans are lectured about how this country falls short of Hollywood's ideals of social justice. But Hollywood now regularly censors its own movies to appease the Chinese Communist Party, the world's most powerful violator of human rights.
And then the next clip 6.
Chinese government censors don't need to say a word because Hollywood is doing their work for them. This is a massive propaganda coup for the Chinese Communist Party.
A massive propaganda coup. Here's Hollywood doing everything that it can to censor its own movies to please China. They would never do this to please parents by removing filth, for instance, to help fathers and mothers. No, but they'll censor it to make sure they don't offend China. Can't do it because you've got to. It's too big of a market. It's all about the Benjamins, as it's often said. It's all about the money. It's all about making money. Bill Barr says, look, most of these corporations, they're just thinking about the quarterly earnings report. China's thinking long term. China's thinking decades down the road. China's thinking about all these institutions that they are conquering, that they are raiding, that they are replacing. Blot out Israel. Here's clip 7.
Globalization does not always point in the direction of greater freedom. A world marching to the beat of the communist Chinese drum will not be a hospitable one for institutions that depend on free markets, free trade, or the free exchange of ideas. There was a time when American companies understood that they saw them and understood this, and they saw themselves as American and proudly defended American values.
That's the Attorney General calling out U.S. companies, calling out big corporations. There was a time when they upheld American values. There was a time when they defended America's institutions first. America first. Donald Trump says that today, and somehow it's seen as controversial. There was a time when corporations, when Hollywood, when professional sports, when they all were America first. What's Satan's goal here? What's his aim? To blot out Israel. God saw the sickness. God saw the affliction. And he saved, temporarily, he saved Israel by the hand of Jeroboam. Boy, these prophecies are springing to life. We're seeing it, as I say, every day. You could build a program around this theme, carrying on with the next clip, clip 8.
American companies must understand the stakes. The Chinese Communist Party thinks in terms of decades and centuries. Well, we tend to focus on the next quarter's earning report. But if Disney and other American corporations continue to bow to Beijing, they risk undermining both their own future competitiveness and prosperity, as well as the classical liberal order that has allowed them to thrive.
There's a grave danger, in other words. Our companies need to wake up. Hollywood needs to wake up. They need to think long term. Clip 9.
The CCP has launched an orchestrated campaign across all of its many tentacles in Chinese government and society to exploit the openness of our institutions in order to destroy them.
Exploiting the openness of our institutions in order to destroy them. You see the goal? The goal is to blot out Israel. We've been talking and referring back to statements Mr. Armstrong made decades ago, 50, 60, 70 years ago, about the communist infiltration of the United States. It is nearly complete. We've reached saturation point. Certainly when you look at big corporations, certainly when you look at Hollywood, certainly when you look at academia, certainly when you look at the Democrat Party, even the Republican Party. The lone man standing. That's the Trumpet article from just this week. The lone man standing. The lone man defending America. Defending U.S. institutions. This is why he's despised. This is why the world targets America and its president, as the last cover of the Trumpet magazine brought out. The July issue. Now we're into August, the August issue, and sure enough, there's an article in there. Where is the China-America clash leading? My father writes, how can the U.S. possibly trust China when it lies and cheats constantly? China's behavior with the coronavirus, in the South China Sea, in unlawful trade practices, in so many other areas, makes painfully clear that America cannot trust it. That means the U.S. had better remain stronger than China, or it is inviting disaster. If we're not stronger than China, we are inviting disaster. Further on, my father says, God is not happy with the national descendants of Israel in this end time. He prophesies that a devastating economic siege is coming against America. He references Ezekiel 4. There's other prophetic passages talking about this economic siege, this trade war that's coming against the United States. Here's one final clip from my father's Key of David program 2 months ago, clip 13.
Oftentimes you'll find that this trade war that's going on around the world, and especially between America and China, and is really quite bad. And oftentimes in the past, trade wars led to shooting wars, just like in World War II. That's what happened. Now, we see that China is intimidating all the people in East Asia, and they probably preparing to cut the U.S. off from trade in that area, just as Japan did in World War II. And that, of course, a lot of that happened after the bombing of Pearl Harbor. But there was a great trade war going on.
Then led to a shooting war. There's quite a bit also in that August issue of the Trumpet about China's advance there in the South China Sea. It's taking over, my father says. It is bullying and domineering its neighbors into submission. It has the power, thanks largely to these militarized islands, to stop trillions of dollars worth of trade being shipped through this area. So who's speaking out about it? Well, you've got William Barr, to his credit. Mike Pompeo, he's had some strong words for China. And, of course, President Donald Trump. No one else. There was a story out of the UK yesterday, by the way. This girl, remember the three girls, I think it was, they went down to Syria and they married these ISIS fighters. They were out there on videos at beheadings, calling on ISIS to kill British citizens. These are British young people. And so they had their citizenship revoked. They lost their U.S. or their U.K. citizenship. And yesterday, a U.K. court ruled in their favor, the favor of this one girl. She wants back in. She wants her citizenship back. And the U.K., this U.K. court said, well, she's entitled to come back and to at least fight this in court. And you have to wonder what qualifies for treason in our nations. If you leave the United Kingdom and then go and try to kill British citizens. Here's the UK court defending her. Defending her. I'm sure they would defend China and all of its abuses in that Muslim province, in Tibet, in Hong Kong, wherever. That's the thinking. It's embedded into our thinking today. If it doesn't hurt ourselves, then it's really not worth calling attention to. Just let it go. The goal, the aim here is to kill ourselves. It's a sickness from head to toe. Isaiah 1 brings that out. This is what our woke society is concerned about. Making us sicker and sicker and sicker, even as all of these other ascendant powers are surrounding us. And little or nothing is said about that. When we come back, we'll dwell on a theme that we've been emphasizing here at the summer educational program, the positive view that we ought to take of our own history. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
Did it ever strike you as most unusual that the great God should have raised up the ancient nation Israel to be his chosen people? Consider these seemingly paradoxical facts. God says he is not a respecter of persons. Is he then a respecter of nations? Does he have a favorite? Did you ever realize that God denied his chosen people salvation, save only their prophets? That the chosen nation was given only material and national promises? That God's Holy Spirit was inaccessible to them? The Holy Bible is indeed a book that is primarily about one people, the people of Israel. But why? This astounding truth is a mystery totally unknown by any religion, by Christianity, by even Judaism. It is thoroughly explained in this book, Mystery of the Ages, It is an intriguing story. The mystery of Israel has great significance in God's purpose for all peoples. One cannot understand the real purpose and incredible potential of man without this vital knowledge. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
The New York Times, 1619 Project. So named for the year that the first slaves were transported to America, wants you to believe that our country was founded for human bondage. They want you to believe that America's institutions continue to reflect the country's acceptance of slavery at our founding. They want you to believe that Marxist ideology, that America is only the oppressors and the oppressed. The Chinese Communist Party must be gleeful when they see the New York Times spout this ideology. Some people have taken these false doctrines to heart. The rioters pulling down statues thus see nothing wrong with desecrating monuments to those who fought for our unalienable rights, from our founding to the present day. This is a dark vision of America's birth. I reject it.
U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo yesterday saying he rejects this dark vision of America's birth, that the country was founded just for human bondage, basically. That's it. That's America's history. That's what we're to focus on. These are false doctrines, he says. Here again, what would it be? What would the message be coming out of the Justice Department or coming out of the State Department if Hillary Clinton were president right now? These people are, they're willing to do anything to return to power. Here they are attacking the United States. That's what this election really is shaping up to be, this 2020 election, I mean. Those who love their country and those who hate it. It's a pretty stark contrast. He rejects it, and good for him. America's history isn't perfect, but look at the good that it brought to the world. Look at the freedom that spread. I mentioned that quote last week from Thomas Jefferson. If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. Can't happen. You think this kind of ignorance is going to preserve the freedoms that we enjoy, the freedoms that we take for granted? We better educate ourselves. We better educate our children, because those freedoms, all the freedoms that we enjoy, they are eroding away. This New York Times article from 1985, this was in a Trumpet article a while back. I used it and made the point that if it was like this in 1985, what about today? Furthermore, the New York Times wouldn't write anything like this today. They're the ones out there promoting, as he said, the Secretary of State, the 1619 Project. They sponsor that. And now they're trying to get it into schools. And the Chinese Communist Party must be gleeful that the New York Times is out there spouting off with this propaganda. Here's the New York Times 35 years ago. They said the threat to our knowledge of the past comes not from government censorship, but from indifference and ignorance. The erosion of historical understanding seems especially pronounced among the generation under 35. Well, that generation is now 65 or 70. It quotes this teacher from a community college saying, "My students are not stupid, but they have an abysmal background in American or any other kind of history." Another one, working at a college in New York, says, "My students have no historical knowledge on which to draw when they enter college. They have no point of reference for understanding World War I, the Treaty of Versailles, or the Holocaust." It's very dangerous. The New York Times said in 1985, this is a dangerous situation that we're in. And who would have thought just 35 years later, well, I guess 34, going back to last year, when they came out with the 1619 Project. Since that time, since 1985, they have attacked America's founders. They've attacked America's founding institutions. And now they're there telling you that the United States was founded for human bondage. Human bondage. That's our history. That's why millions of people are risking their lives to get to the United States every year. Human bondage. The Chinese Communist Party, they must be gleeful that the Times is out there today spouting off that propaganda. 2 Kings 14, 26 and 27, as I said in the first segment. It's a theme you see every day in the news. God saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter, for there was not any shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel. Israel didn't have any help. So what did God do? The Eternal said not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. He saved Israel by the hand of Jeroboam. Here comes this Jeroboam leader, this Jeroboam figure. And he's just emphasizing the heroes of 1776, as he said in the Mount Rushmore speech. The heroes of 1776. He said that the goal, by the way, of the radical left is to end America. These are some bold speeches that you're hearing. President Trump, William Barr, Mike Pompeo. You've heard clips from all of them. Psalm 83, I'll just refer you to that passage as well. The enemies from without. We know about the enemy from within, the sickness, the disease, the cancer, the self-loathing. The enemies from without, their goal ultimately will be to blot out Israel as well. I made that point in the first segment. That's China's goal. They're not trying to get better trade arrangements with the United States. They're raiding the United States. They're attacking the United States. They're stealing from the United States. My father goes through the laundry list in the latest trumpet. Look at the way China's behaved with respect to the coronavirus. Look at what that's done to the world. Now, a lot of it's been the scaremongering, the panic that set in. But still, it did originate. The disease did originate in Wuhan. And it spread from there. And how has China tried to really help deal with that situation? Has China tried to help the nations of this world through this trial? China is gleeful that it has the NBA, that it has the New York Times, that it has corporate America. It has all of them in its back pocket, doing its bidding. What kind of a view does God take when he considers the history of the United States and Britain? You look at all of these periods in our history where God miraculously intervened. Yesterday, I'll talk about this on a program next week, but we talked about Thomas Jefferson, the author of the Declaration of Independence, and just God's miraculous hand in the purchase of the Louisiana territory that included this little piece of land, by the way, on which we have God's headquarters campus. This little piece of land where the new throne of David is situated, its history goes back to 1803. When Thomas Jefferson, President Jefferson, sent those diplomats to France, Napoleon was desperate for money, and we secured what is it? I think 830,000 square miles of land for $15 million. 3 cents per acre. I think someone said that the campus here would have been about $5 of that overall charge. So President Jefferson purchased this land in North Edmond for $5. And I guess it's passed through lots of hands ever since over the past two centuries. And here we are today in the middle of Oklahoma, this beautiful headquarters campus. Well, that's just a small part of the story, but that effectively doubled the size of the United States. Thomas Jefferson had it, he had a vision that took America all the way to the coast, the Pacific coast. And what a massive step in that direction the Louisiana Purchase was in 1803. And as I was telling the campers yesterday, it's prophesied that God would empower us, that God would bless us. And specifically at that time period, the early 1800s, because of promises he made to Abraham and because of what he prophesied in Leviticus 26 about the 2,520 years of, delaying those blessings. God looks at that history. He looks at that story. And he sees a lot of positives. Now, there's negatives in the record as well. We're seeing a lot of it right now. In the former prophet's book, my father says, Bible history is the greatest history of all because it's God's history. These books show that if we live the same lifestyles our forefathers did, we will attain virtually the same results, good or bad. History becomes prophecy. Not all prophecy is history, but a lot of history becomes prophecy. It says, history prophesies the fate of nations, whether they will thrive or collapse. This is a law of history. So it's all there. God takes a positive view. He looks at King David and he sees a man who had a heart like God's, and yet David's sins and mistakes, so many of them, they're recorded in Scripture too. God wants us to learn from it. Imagine if God only focused on the negative. Imagine if David made one mistake and God said, all right, you've got to be canceled, completely canceled. And everything about your leadership, the kingdom that you ruled, it's got to be blotted out. You made a mistake. You had a sin. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 1, it says, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Don't be ignorant of this history. Don't be ignorant of what happened before you. It says in verse 6, now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. There's a lot of bad examples when it comes to ancient Israel. God's saying, look, I don't want you to get out in the wilderness and lust after things. Verse 11 says much the same. Now all these things happened unto them for examples. They're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. See, they're there. The mistakes are there for us as well. But when God is teaching us, when he's teaching our young people, he still puts the emphasis on the positives. And David, again, is a perfect example of this. You can look into the book of Chronicles and see this positive emphasis over and over and over. 1 Chronicles 10 through 29, practically the whole book, it's about David's reign, and it has a lot of history there. But the focus is on the key of David. The focus is on the throne of David. Ezra came along later. Of course, the sins, so many of them, you can find them in 1 and 2 Samuel. But the Jews returned to Jerusalem. Ezra writes his version of the history a little bit later. And he wants to encourage these Jews on their return. He wants to encourage them in their rebuilding effort. So he writes that history. And he focuses on the throne of David. Hey, we're in Jerusalem now. We're at headquarters. Let's put the focus on the positive, and let's finish the job that God's given us to do. This is something we should strive to do. Learn from the mistakes. 1 Corinthians 10 brings that out. Certainly don't get caught up in the sins that David did. Learn from it. Or if you do make a mistake, deeply repent the way that he did and have a heart like God's. But in looking back over the whole record, look at the way God views all of this. Look at the way he views David. Even Israel, my father's made the point on that prophecy in 2 Kings 14, that God had mercy on our nations when we didn't deserve it. Look at the sins of our nations. Look at the sins of our people. Now, God's not giving us a pass on all of that. But he looked at the sickness. He looked at the affliction. He saw that there was no help. And so he saved Israel temporarily by the hand of Jeroboam. And for us, this represents one last opportunity to get right with God, to turn to God in repentance. Speaking of this positive focus and orientation we ought to have, listen to this beautiful verse, Philippians 4 and verse 8. This is the Apostle Paul. And he says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Think on these things, Paul says. Think on the things that are true and pure and lovely and honest. You don't have to dwell on these false doctrines that are out there to say that America was founded for human bondage. And that's it. God doesn't view it that way. My father says in the book of Chronicles, we need to know about the problems and the difficulties, yes, but we need our emphasis on the positives. We need to emphasize the positive. We need to see God's hand in the Declaration of Independence, in the Louisiana Purchase. We need to see God in our history. We see God, if we're looking at it the right way, we see God in King David's administration. We see God in the throne of David, the kingdom of Israel. We see God in his church today. If we have a positive view of history, of our own history, this will go a long way toward helping us to avoid discouragement and depression, just being negative through and through. View the history, view our own history the way that God does. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We thank you for joining us on today's show. Thanks for joining us all week, and we'll see you next week.